Top of the morning to you, or afternoon, or evening, whenever you may be listening. My name is Scotty, and welcome to Chip Time, Season 3, Episode 6, and I am fired up for our interview today. Very special guest. We had such a good discussion talking about this man's NCAA career and just getting to know him on a better level beyond just the running accolades. So due to how packed that interview is, I'm not going to spend too much time here in the introduction rambling away, but I do have an announcement that I have to make because I am so excited about it. It's been a while since I've had any sort of personal running goal or race set that I've been really excited about. It's really been since last August. And after just a nice stroke of motivation this weekend, Nick and I went for a 12-mile run yesterday. And that was, I told him and Sarah, who was running with us for a bit, that was my first time running longer than 8 miles since the end of August, I think. And I really just needed that level of motivation to get off the couch and just start moving the legs again. So on that, I said, while I have this motivation, I want to sign up for a race, put a goal race on the calendar, have something to train for. Let's capitalize on this. Let's keep the momentum going. And I have signed up for a half marathon in Midland, Michigan on June 3rd. Because if I know anything about Midland, Michigan, it is very flat. And as long as there is, you know, just good weather on that day, it is a place where you can run fast times. So I'm really excited for that. Working with Coach Ben, who was on the show 2 episodes ago. Listen to that one if you haven't already. I believe he is the fastest 1500 and 800 meter runner we have had on the show. So really, really excited to be working with him, just having something to train for again. And I'm going for a PR in this half marathon. We're not just messing around. We're not just throwing something on the calendar to show up at the line and finish. We're going for a PR. We've chosen this one strategically, and I have no doubt in my mind we're going to be able to do it if we take care of the training each and every day. So it's going to get me back out there. I'm really excited for that. Can't wait to start running with Mike more often, continuing to run with Nick and Sarah and the whole team. It's springtime, people. We made it through another winter, and it's time to start moving along. But because, like I said, such a huge interview today that we're excited to share with everybody, we want to get right into that. So let's get a quick word from our sponsors and then fully dive into today's interview. This episode is sponsored by The Amino Company. As I'm sure you know by now, Perform from The Amino Company is by far my favorite 100% science-backed product. And why is that? I'm glad you asked, because I am someone who works in an office job, sits in a chair for about 9 hours a day, and when I have that time in the evening to exercise, whether it's running or going to the gym, I want to get the most out of that time. And this product is great because it achieves 3 things I'm looking to do. Number one, it increases the peak strength and endurance of my muscles during exercise. Number two, it improves my cognitive focus, function, and concentration. And number three, it decreases recovery time by quickly rebuilding muscle tissue. If you want to check out any more of their science, go to aminoco.com/chiptime. And because you're one of our listeners, you'll get a 30% discount on any of the Amino Co products when you use code CHIPTIME at check out. And also, if you're interested, go to our episode from season 2, where we interview Dr. Robert Wolf, the developer of Perform from the Amino Company, a man who has run 62 marathons in under 2 hours and 30 minutes. Great guy to talk to. Phenomenal conversation. Phenomenal product. Make your way to aminoco.com/chiptime. Now, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest today. He is a member of America's Team, the Northwood University Timberwolves. It is Dylan Haviland, coming off a huge indoor track season that ended at the national championships, and we will be diving in very deeply to that. But before we get into this current season, we need to get to know the man a little bit better, his background, why he chose cross country and track and field, and just get to know today's guest a little bit more. So first off, Dylan, thanks for being here. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's such a cool opportunity to be a part of a podcast. I've done a couple in the past, but I haven't done one with you. So this is really awesome, man. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And Dylan let me know, he just ran 13 miles before this. So if my voice puts him to sleep, as I've heard from other audience members, it's prone to do. Cut him some slack. He had some time on feet today. And give the man some kudos if you follow him on Strava. We got to, those are rookie numbers. We got to get those up. So, you know, it's great to have you on as well. It's been fun to have connected just through obviously knowing your coach and knowing a few of your teammates as well. But if we even go to the pre Northwood days, if we go back in the time machine, one thing I love with these discussions is I always find that everyone's origin story of how they got into cross country or track and field, it's different. You know, some people played soccer and then got into spring track, or they just didn't find a home in other sports and settled for cross country. But for you, how early did you really become a runner? Was it love at first mile, or did it really take some time settling into becoming a cross country runner?
You know, that's a really long story. I've had a long journey over the time. Now I'm 23, still at it, using up eligibility, but getting started, I was never really much of a sports kid. I was definitely a little bit peer pressured into sports early on in fifth grade. My buddies and I would play football at recess, and then they wanted me to play football with them. And so I did that from like fifth grade to ninth grade. But in eighth grade, in middle school, I remember it was my friend group that I would hang out with every day. And they're like, hey, we do winter running after track, and we've been seeing you run the mile in gym class. And so that's kind of where it started, I guess, the running career. And I would always just try and run the mile as fast as I can, or I could, for gym class. And I ended up getting down into the five somewhere along the lines. And I think it was like 5:13, maybe, my eighth grade year. And they were like, hey, you should come out for track and train with us in the winter. And I was like, no, like I'm good. I already do one sport, you know, I don't want to do another one. I wouldn't say I was lazy, but I was hesitant. Really hesitant to join. And there was this old man named Dave Moss, and him and my friends definitely peer pressured me into it. And then I absolutely ended up loving it. It was just such a fun time. We would train indoors just in our middle school all winter. And then track season came, and I was able to go to the honor roll meet by the end. I got the middle school record of like 2:11, I believe, there. And just was a great experience. And then continued through high school, broke a couple more school records while I was there, and just really loved the sport. And I wanted to continue on, I knew, going into college. So I would do quite a few visits and just try and figure out where I belonged and tried to figure out what I wanted to do or well, or like what felt like home to me. And it wasn't until I got to Lansing Community College that I was like, oh, these guys like are a bunch of fun. Like this seems like home to me. It'd be a great time. And I was also like, if you go the community college route, they also have quite a bit more scholarship. They're more lenient that way. And so I know just like personally coming like from my family, like where we come from, like I didn't know how I was gonna pay for college. Like I didn't, I was just trying to trust God and like my ability to run and see like where I would end up. And everything was pointing towards Lansing Community College. And I was very fortunate to be able to go there and just have the time that I did. I didn't progress a whole lot during track season. And then, of course, sophomore year, COVID happened. So yeah, it was a great time though. I did learn a lot. In cross country, I'd say I progressed quite a bit. And I was able to run like 25 mid for the 8K. Got like, what is it, Greater Lakes regional champion or something like that. So it was cool. It was a great experience. And just another continuation of like the right steps forward, and got to meet a lot of great people and take a lot of great trips. And then COVID happened, of course, and this is where everybody's story does a 180. Some people end up not running, some people find running again. And for me, I was very lucky that Northwood kept staying so persistent. And it was kind of, not so much peer pressure again going back into it, but I was trying to make a decision on where I wanted to go to college after LCC to do that transfer. And at first I was a music major, and that's I'm still a music guy. I record in my spare time and play and sing and stuff. But I really got thinking about business and like marketing, digital marketing and whatnot. And I was looking to go for that. So I was trying to pick between a couple schools, and Northwood was one of them. And I just it ended up I picked one school and it didn't end up happening. Just COVID and a bunch of other stuff happened where it wasn't working out. And there was a bunch of signs just pointing to not go that year. And so that was really difficult. And I didn't really understand why things were happening the way that they were. I know COVID was a very difficult time for a lot of people. So I ended up taking a break here and staying in my hometown in St. John's. And then I worked at a couple credit unions. And then finally, after I was 12 pounds overweight, like probably like over what I was used to, I stopped running for a bit, and I would go to the gym maybe 3 times a week. And me and my buddy Elliot would run like 10 miles every Sunday, and he dragged me along. And so that was about my running experience for that break year. But I got a call from Northwood, and they said, hey, this is like, another offer. We would hate for you to just give up on your dream of running, just because of all the, I'm trying to look for the right words, but
Like the
probably just for,
opportunity.
like we still want to give you a shot, man. Like, and so I was like, okay, I got how long do I have? And they're like, 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, I'll think about it. And it probably only took a week, and I was like, I want to get back to this, So, in short, that's where I ended up. And the journey is a very long process, and sometimes you don't end up where you think you're gonna go, but I have been more than happy at each different step, and just made so many great friends and family along the way. And it's just such an honor to be on this team, and for them to even want to take a shot on a 22-year-old kid. Like they usually go younger and younger. They're like, why would we want this old beat up dude when we can have like a freshman to train up? So it was really cool. Just coming back, and now my life has changed entirely after just trusting that process and hanging in there through the break year and realizing how much I had missed the sport. And now, of course, like nationals for indoors happened, and I was able to go All American with the help of like my coaches, friends, and family, like all along this way. So it's just my life has changed completely from the sport, and I owe a lot to it.
Well, as a an older, more beat up man myself, I can relate to finding gratitude in that. But man, quite the journey right there, that I have so many follow-up questions on, because it's very unique the path you took. And the COVID year itself, like you said, it's a 180. It's different for everyone. And everyone really responded to it differently. Some people just didn't want to get back to training and competition. And for some people, they found running as this safe place, this sanctuary to set their mind to train their body and to find improvement when so much was uncertain in the world and what was going on. So, I mean, looking back even before that to the end of your high school career, shout out to the people who put that peer pressure on you, because they turned you in the direction of cross country and track. But I'm curious, did you end up after that freshman year just quitting football when you started doing that winter training and doing track? And in addition to that, I'm curious, did you have a favorite type of competition between cross country and track? Did you lean more to the track and the speed stuff, or did you like the variety of courses and bigger invitationals and things you get on the cross country course?
Yeah. So football, I did end up quitting. I completed a season my freshman year, and then I got a taste for winter track again, but instead of training indoors for the middle school, we ran outside in the snow. And dude, like, I only ran like probably the 800 and down my first year of track. And so I just got buried. I got buried every single day in winter training that freshman year. And we had seniors like Cody Cook and Kerrigan Smith and even Josiah Quinn. So shout out St. John's if you guys are listening. You know who you are. But they would bury me every single day. And little freshman me would just be hanging on. And I remember my first day there, we're doing a route. And it's like a loop. And so we get about 4 miles into it and we stop. And I'm like, oh, well, the school's just a half a mile away. Like, we're almost there. And they're like, oh, no, like, we're halfway out right now. And I'm like, are you serious? And they're like, yeah, we got to turn around and go back. And I'm like, all right, like, let's do this then. And I would never, like, say a word. I was just dead and, like, just trying to hang on for dear life. And that definitely motivated me to try and get better, just seeing, like, them run and, like, just learning everything I could from the upperclassmen. So after that, I got really pumped about cross because I knew how much it would help for track. And I ended up finding, not to brag, but quite a bit of success in that my first year as well doing that. So I was just really thankful for those people that showed me the way, and took me under their wing, because it was really great, to have them there. But yeah, I didn't continue football after that. It was a really hard decision. I talked to a lot of family and friends about that. But it was definitely the right choice. But then, I'm sorry, I forgot your other question. Oh yeah, more of a track or a cross guy. I say I've been in the middle for so long, but it wasn't until like this last couple of years that I've really favored track. Definitely love the track.
That's the right answer.
That's what you would say too?
You know, it's for me, my experience is not the level of yours or anything, the level of competition. But for me, I always managed to hurt myself in the summer from overtraining in some way, because I took my motivation as a means to be like, if I want to get better than the current level I'm at, I've got to train more, harder, faster. And I would end up getting really fit in June and July and early August, and then starting to feel the wear and tear build up. And so I never really had that cross country season in college that I was hoping for. But I did experience, especially when Jeremy took over my senior year, I had some success on the track, at least by my standards. And even going back to middle school and high school, I loved track and field. Just the weather's getting warmer, racing under the lights and evening invitationals and things like that. Having it be close to the end of the school year, there was just a special feeling of spring running that outdoor track specifically, even more than indoor, outdoor was always my favorite. But I'm curious to hear some more of your pre-Northwood experience at LCC. I got to know a handful of the LCC guys when I was at Northwood, not super well, but it felt almost like an extension of our team, like just the vibe, the type of positivity, and just having fun with the sport and having fun with competition. I got that same feeling from some of them. And then a few of them came to Northwood. Unfortunately, it wasn't till after I graduated, but the year after I graduated, Dylan Rocha and Treston came to Northwood, and Treston stayed for like 10 years after that. But those guys, they fit right into the culture that we had as well. So I'm curious for you, from your LCC perspective, what was just the vibe? What was the buzz in practice and competition? And how did you feel during your couple years competing over there?
Definitely. They were there for a good time and to train and to get better. And just bringing that positivity every day is what we fed off of. It's how we grew as a team together. We would just have fun with the sport. But at the same time, like, you know, there's a different level, obviously, right? When you have JUCO versus like a D1 school, like there's going to be a bigger difference in the kind of kids that might show up to JUCO, where maybe it was like their first year ever running their senior year in high school, and they're coming onto the team and just looking for the next steps, you know, to kind of get started more into the sport. Or maybe you have kids like me who might have been looking to go D1 or D2 after high school, but, you know, just ended up going JUCO and absolutely loving it too. So we definitely had a wide range of people. And I just think that added even more to the culture. Like it was just so great to have a bunch of different kinds of people there who all wanted to train together and learn from each other, all from different backgrounds. So that's really great. And a lot of those people today are still definitely my best friends. Elliot Leip, to mention one, he's a guy who's on Northwood's team right now, and he's only got one semester left of eligibility, but I convinced him to come back for his master's and sign on to run one more season. And we met at LCC, and there's just been a lot of great friends that we've kept that friendship over the years. And it still feels like a really close bond, even though all of us after a 2-year school, you know, kind of move out. And so you're kind of almost like forced to be close with those people. And that's a good thing, because whereas a 4-year university, you know, you have your freshman and then you have your sophomore, junior, senior, but it's kind of like a freshman senior relationship with those friends and those teammates, because you'd have them there for 1 year and then they might stick around, but for the most part, they're probably going to, like, the sophomores will transfer out. So you get to know them really well, and then you don't really have another year with them. So you just soak up all that time that you have. So, and coach Rob too, I definitely need to shout out. He's a super great coach. I learned a lot, from that guy. And it was just really cool seeing his philosophy on running and, the Arthur Lydiard take, he has to that. So it was just a blast, to be able to get a college experience and just look towards the next steps after that too.
For sure. And one more thing I'm curious before we get to the Northwood chapter is, you mentioned the music. So you mentioned the music that you started with, and you're still doing, just not quite as much as you've pivoted to pursuing your business degree. What kind of music are we talking here? Are you laying down some bars, or is this more of a coffee shop, Dylan? Like, What am I getting myself into here?
So if you like grunge music, I take a lot of inspiration from 90s grunge, and I kind of like to infuse some elements of like hip hop in there. So it's kind of like a post grunge kind of genre. But I try and record in my free time, which I haven't had a lot of lately, sadly, but that's a genre I'm trying to push for right now and just, have fun with it and just see where it goes.
What are your favorite like couple bands? If you had to name like two or three, something like that.
The Neighborhood's probably my top band, not a grunge band, but definitely my favorite band. Nirvana might sound cliche, but they're definitely a close second. So those two I listen to quite a bit. Shoot, if I had to pick a third, I really truly don't know who the third would be. I just know those two I listen to most of the time. Maybe Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam might be up there.
Good picks. Good picks. Nice. Well, cool, man. That's very unique. I mean, being someone who I just started and ended my college career at Northwood, you just hear a lot of people doing stale business majors. I mean, I'm just a part of that puzzle. I did accounting and finance, and it worked out. Like, I'm very grateful for the education I got, but there isn't as much of showing your personality or just exploring what makes you unique within programs like that. So it's always cool to hear from someone like you that does more of a unique blend of education and your passion as well. So that's pretty cool. I hope as you have more free time in the future, you're able to continue pursuing that. And it seems like the digital marketing can kind of work alongside that for, building a brand and things like that. But as we transition to the Northwood side of things, just the last couple of years, so much has happened. And I've been really grateful to have Coach Wilk on here a couple times. I've been able to go to one or two cross country meets, haven't made it to a track meet in a few years, but just I'll give you from my perspective the difference in where the program has gone. When I came in as a freshman at Northwood, the culture there was very mediocre. You had to be self-motivated. You really had to have something inside you that wanted to strive for greatness because it was not inherent in the culture. And this is, pre-Coach Wilk. And so, as an athlete on the team, we all wanted to beat our high school PRs, but showing up at these GLIAC meets, I know you guys are in the GMAC now, it really was just a sense that we were competing against ourselves, which is always inherent in running, but we didn't have the belief that we could be competitive in the GLIAC. And there were some legends in the sport at that time. I'd say on the GLIAC side, a guy named Zach Panning on the long distance side, Grand Valley, he was crazy. On the middle distance side, Drew Wendell from Ashland, like, dude was just untouchable. And we would look at these guys like they were superheroes, but we didn't have that belief within ourselves until my senior year when Jeremy came and really just the culture completely changed. And once we started seeing success and instilled that belief in ourselves, that's when we started running better. We started enjoying it more. We started just the passion for the sport came about. And so it's really been cool to see as I sort of handed off the baton at the end of my senior year to the first recruiting class that Coach Wilk brought in. And then it's continued to grow year after year. It's been really cool to see where the team has gone and the success that you and your teammates have achieved. It's been super fun as an alumni. And so I'm curious if you reflect on your first season at Northwood. Just, we talked about your experience at LCC, but how was the shift to Division II, both in just the level of competition and just your own fitness level as well? You mentioned the challenges with COVID and pivoting around that. So how was it sort of morphing into the Division II scene?
At first, it was a real kick in the teeth as far as training goes. I do want to say really quick, though, that transition was fairly easy for me, because meeting with Colin and Jeremy, I both really like their philosophies on running, and I was very fortunate to have Colin as a high school coach as well. So that was just all the more reason for me to go and to learn even more from that guy. So that was really cool having a year with him before he went to Missouri, which I know he's doing great things there. So it's cool to have those friends that carry out into later season life as well. But like I mentioned earlier, I was a little bit overweight from where I wanted to be by about 12 pounds. And that when I got the call, I was like, all right, like I got to start getting to work, because it was March and, you know, we had a cross season to go to. So I worked really hard, and then I eventually was kind of on a bike for 5 weeks in the summer, just injured myself. And so just kept trying to work at it and work at it. And eventually we got back, but I still wasn't really in the shape that I needed or wanted to be in. And we didn't have too crazy of a cross season that year, you know, but we had some individuals that really stood out and continued to progress. And that was really awesome to see. excuse me. But it was really just a great atmosphere to learn and to partake in. And it was really inspirational too, like getting my butt kicked every single day, you know? And so I just tried to work the best that I could and take in all the knowledge that Wilk has and that Colin had. And it was a lot different than what I've had before too. And the mentality that the two of them just had together was insane. And Jeremy's not one to brag, but I notice up in his office, he's got 3 awards on the top of a shelf, and it says Coach's Mentality Award. And he had it for 3 consecutive years in a row. So he definitely knows how to like train your mind more than anything. And that was really cool to see just all the little different shifts. As far as racing, that field definitely got a lot harder to compete in. The stakes were higher. There were many, many talented athletes just to go up against, and big names that I'm lucky to be competing against now that I never thought I would have a shot at. But it was like you just said, kind of like you never thought back when you were in college that you might have a shot against running against some of these athletes. And now Northwood's program is at a point where we're starting to do that. And it's really cool just to see that and to have the recognition, and not that it's needed. You know, we just want to get better together and be better than we were yesterday. And that team culture is just so great. I'm so thankful for it. Everybody just wants to show up every single day and get better with each other, you know, and we just pull each other up. It's really the pack, like the strength of the wolf is the pack. And so just fast forwarding into the summer, I was like, okay, that was a good season. We had like as a whole from cross, indoor and outdoor, that was a great season. I saw some of the things I might be capable of, but it's like, if I want to progress, we got to get even better. So a few of us stayed over the summer. And while that's not like key to getting better, it definitely helped me out a lot. Training with those guys and training with Jeremy over the summer made a huge difference. And yeah, it's just been great, man. I'm very thankful for that.
Well, we got to dive in and put a magnifying glass on just this past season, so both cross and track, the recent indoor season, because I've heard Jeremy's perspective, which was so cool to get to hear after the cross country season. But I want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from someone who was toeing the line every week. You know, I know you guys, you set high goals and you want to have a mentality that you can be successful. But as you alluded to, the way to be successful is taking care of every day. It's not putting the cart before the horse and getting too far in the future, but just taking care of what the task at hand is every single day. So after you stayed in Midland, you train with the boys all summer and you're hitting the ground for fall cross country. What was your mentality? What were the goals you guys had? And just how was it through that regular season of balancing your training and your long-term goals with just trying to take care of each and every day?
It's hard to balance, you know, when you have an end goal in process, which every team's is always pretty much nationals. Like, you know, why wouldn't you want to go? That's every team's really number one goal at the end of the day, is just to go. But it's a long, long path ahead. And so when you look at it, like, you just got to take it day by day. And that was our goal. And we took it day by day, and supported each other, to the best of our abilities. And we made every day count. And that's ultimately what led us to even getting into the meet itself, you know, and I hope that continues to be a tradition. Cause my cross eligibility is over now. So I hope that just is a continuation, for years to come. I would love to see that team go to nationals every single year now. And I know how bad we wanted it, and we just made every meet count. And, you know, that added up in the end, when you're comparing different teams to get in. And it was hard because regionals didn't go how we wanted it to at all. And so we thought, you know, if we did X, Y, Z, then we'll be fine and we'll be in. And we didn't accomplish those goals. So we didn't know if we were really going to get in for cross country. So I just remember all of us had a team meeting and we all sat there. And as soon as we saw our name on the list of people who got in to nationals, we jumped up, and there's videos on the internet of it, but we were all crying and jumping up and down and hugging each other. And it was just a great memory because it's the first time in program history that we've all gone as a team. And I didn't want to do it any other way. You know, because we had, like, individually, we could probably have a couple people go if things went 100% right at regionals, and it didn't, and it fell apart. But because we stayed true to our plan and we made every single day count, every single meet count, it just led us to getting into that meet and having that experience together as a team. It was just an amazing time. So I'm very, also very thankful for that.
Yeah, I remember seeing that video you're talking about of you guys celebrating. And I mean, it filled me with emotion just because I'm watching this video of a room that I had, I don't know how many team meetings in, like, you know, that sort of HQ for the track team. And for you guys to just find out right there as a team, first time in program history, that must have been pretty surreal. And it, as much of it is probably bittersweet for you that was your last eligibility year for cross, you're sort of in my shoes now of you're handing the baton to, you know, the next era and just say, giving them the salute. Like, you guys are, it's been proven that this program is capable of this. So it's up to you guys to embody that mentality and just continue. So that's exciting on the cross country side of things. Looking at this indoor season, this recent indoor season that just finished up just over a week ago, did you really feel like momentum from cross just carried right over and you guys were able to just keep going? Or was there any difficulty with switching from the strength-based events, the 8K and the 10K, to those shorter middle distance events where you're really getting the wheels turning for 800, a mile, 3K. How was that? I guess just in general, whether it's this year or previous years, have you struggled with that at all? Because I'll say from my vantage point, I was always just like, thank goodness I don't have to do these long split tempos anymore. Like I can just rip some 200s and start running fast again. I was always stoked about it.
Yeah, for me being a track guy, I feel that same way. From personal experience, it was a bit of an adjustment at first. We had, you know, a longer season than usual, not only because we made it to nationals, but because the season as a whole, I believe, was 2 weeks longer. And we had been training really hard. I think the hardest that any of us have ever trained before. And that, I mean, that shows how much we wanted it, but it also comes with the cost of realizing that it's probably going to tire you out at some point. So I learned a week or two after nationals, after it not going how I had imagined. Like I was definitely thankful for the opportunity to be there, and that was such a great experience, but I had wanted to go all American individually, and that didn't happen at all. I didn't even come close. Maybe within like the first 2K of the race. But then I fell off pretty hard, but it was hard because I really wanted that goal, and I think I got in my head a little bit. And I also came to learn that I was iron deficient, and I was trying to deal with that. And I was like, I don't understand why I'm so tired. The week of training, getting back to it after a long cross season. So I got that figured out, and I was like, all right, you know, I have a goal in mind. Like I wasn't sure what I'd be able to do this cross season, but from last year's track season, I know what I want to do. And so I still wanted that All-American title. And I knew it was going to take a lot of work, and there was no way I could do it alone. So I had to rely on my teammates, and I had to rely on my coach to help get me there and to help get us there as a program, you know. So it was definitely a little bit of an adjustment at first, but like you said, once you start working with those shorter distances and getting back to not long tempos and not hills, it feels great just doing some tune-up work on the track and having that large base of like 80, 90 max mile weeks coming in to doing just like shorter mileage after having built that base and just fine tuning some things. That just felt terrific. And for me, because I liked track more, it was a great adjustment after we got some things figured out.
800 mile 3K. If you had to pick one, Desert Island, which one is your favorite indoor event?
Mile all the way, 100%. The 3K, I'm still hesitant about like this season. It ended up going pretty well for the one I ran this season. And I usually only get a shot to run it once a year, just because of how scheduling works out. But I came to like it more. The mile's always been my baby, even though I prefer to say 800 sometimes, because I do like that speed. And I like how it's basically just a kick for two laps, and you really get to see the toughness and the grit in the 800. But I think the mile has just always been kind of my calling card. Like I can remember back to like fifth grade doing the mile in gym class, and you run like however many laps around a soccer field, and I would always just try my hardest out there for whatever reason. Like I was like 10 years old and I didn't need to run that hard, you know. It's just
so
a fun
you could
gym
get class. the presidential fitness patch.
Was that a thing? I don't remember that.
Oh, that's what they had at my school. It was like this blue patch. If you could do that and like the V sit and reach and like the shuttle run.
Oh yeah, that's right. Now I remember that. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I completely forgot that was the whole thing. But yeah, I would always just try it that, and then it was like, you know, gym class mile. It was just gym class mile. And that's how I got started in track. That's how I ended up here, was just running gym class miles. So the miles definitely my event, and I love it.
It was my favorite as well. If I had to pick between the mile indoor and the 1500 outdoor, I preferred the 1500. Not sure where you lie there. Any preference between those?
I definitely say the mile still. I know the 15 is a little bit shorter, and maybe I'll find more of appreciation for it. I haven't had actually a ton of experience with it other than last year. I ran it a few times my freshman year, but then COVID, we didn't have that track season either. So it's kind of it is I you'd like to say, right, that it's not too different, but it really is different, especially when you start on the like 300 meter mark. And that's just like, okay, now you got to keep a lap count for like coming around and hitting this mark instead of the finish line. And so I would definitely take the indoor mile. Somehow it just makes sense to me better.
Well, that was on full display in the national championships when you took it to the house for a fourth place. Was it third or f it was fourth place, right? At
Yeah, correct.
nationals. And I'm curious, just, I mean, reliving that meet. You got the prelim, of course, before the final, but you know it's going to be quick, right? You know you can't just sit around, even in a prelim, because there's no guarantee to advance. So, what was the mentality in that first round? Was it an all-out effort and just survive in advance, so to speak? Or was there a part of that prelim, maybe with 50 or 100 meters to go, when you realized I'm in position, I can stride this out, conserve some energy, and get to the final? Where on that scale did you find yourself knowing that you needed to advance and exert enough effort to make it through the next round?
Going through it's top three in each heat, right? And then the next fastest time. So I told myself going in, it's like whatever happens, you have to try and get top three, because that's your only guaranteed way in. And that's nerve-wracking, you know? Like a lot of things can go wrong in that amount of laps. And so I tried to stay mostly positive about it, but honestly, like the prelims, I have to say, are more nerve-wracking than the finals, you know, because you that's all about just getting there. And then once you get there, you can compete. Like, you know, you can do it. But the prelims was, you never know how it's going to go. Especially like I feel for those guys in the first heat. Some of the guys that might not have made it in, like you have to set the tone. And if you don't set the standard high enough, like the second heat can see that and be like, okay, now I know what I have to do, you know? And that's really hard to deal with. So, luckily I was in the second heat. And I can see the standard of what I would have to do, and it'd still be top three, but probably like would we run like a 407 or 408? Got in. So to go top three, I believe we had Julian, Luke Julian, take it out, and he just kind of soloed it by himself for a while, and that was his strategy because he can definitely do that. He's capable of doing that, and the rest of the pack was like, okay, how slow can we go until we have to really start going, you know? So the last 400 I split, I believe, was like a 56, maybe 60 or a 56 mid to high. So if that tells you anything, it just got faster during that second half. And it was a lot different for me, you know? Like when you think about championship races and prelims, it's like, oh, all these guys are going to be setting records. It's going to be insane. And it's really just like really strategic. And seeing when you need to make your move. So going into that, at some point I knew I had to take over, and it was probably about halfway into it. And I wasn't too afraid to lead. And so other than Luke Julian, of course, he was leading the whole thing out in the front. So that pack just started picking it up, and I knew just talking with coach that I have a pretty good kick, I would like to say, without trying to brag. And also a really fast like 800 compared to most in the field. Definitely not fast as the guys who got in for the 800. I shouldn't say really fast 800, but I have a decently fast one for being a miler. And so I knew it was just kind of came down to closing ability, and I was like, I know I can do that. So I believe Luke Stuckey then came up right next to me, and I was like, all right, this is it. Like, last lap, 200. We got it. Let's just compete and go out there. So after closing in about a 56, crossed the line, and I was like, all right, this is the hardest part, in my opinion, just trying to get into the finals. The nerves like completely went away, and it's like tomorrow's just going to be a great day,
Yeah, I mean you're playing with house money at that point. You're in the final. You got nothing to lose. It's game time. It's like all the work has been put in for this event. Been running it since fifth grade. This is the time, biggest stage. Let's get it done. And you did. I mean, I watched it live. I missed your prelim, but that when I saw you made the final, I put it in my calendar. I'm like 4:35 p.m. Saturday. I'm not letting anyone, take my attention away. We're watching this mile. Turn it on. I was about a minute late into it because you had to like put your email address into this thing, and it's like, come on, people. I'm trying to watch the stream. What are these hoops to jump through? So, NCAA.com, if you're listening, you got to get that noise out of here. We're trying to watch these races. Turn it on. You're in position. And, about 400 into it, everyone's on the rail. You got Miguel Coca in the front, and he really seemed to just control that thing. Optically, just using my eyes watching the race, it had kind of a 2016 Matt Centrowitz gold medal race feel to it, where you got this guy in the front, he's controlling the pace, and he was able to really press at the end. But the difference was it was fast. Like, it was really, really fast. You guys weren't slowly going around and just unleashing at the end. It was a pretty honest pace, which got guys strung out on the rail. And you seemed to be right in that pocket around like third place or so for most of the race. So what was the game plan in your head as you navigated it and realize like this is gonna be fast, this is gonna be under 410, and what was going through your mind throughout that race?
So under 410 too. I didn't expect the race to be a 408, with most of our PRs being quite a bit faster than that, and a couple guys even going sub 4. And then having a 403 PR, I was like, okay, well, it just felt really weird, to cross the line at a 408, even though I feel like the effort was pretty high, and it's just very tactical. But it was I'm so sorry. Can you ask me that question
Well,
again?
it's really, I mean, I was blabbing forever, but more just like, what was going through your head just as far as where do I position myself for
Right.
success, in
You were
this
talking.
field, especially with just the way it seemed like Coca from Adams State was just able to assert the type of race that he wanted it to be.
Absolutely, yeah. You were talking race strategy, like going into it. That's right. It was kind of like me and my coach, Coach Wilk, were talking about it, and it's like, well, if it comes down to that kick, you can do that. But it's also like, if it goes out hot, he's like, I don't see why you couldn't do that either, because we're looking at the field, and all credit due to the guys that deserve to be there too. But a lot of the field was converted times coming in, and while they definitely deserve that conversion, it's way different when you get at that sea level, and you're hitting your PRs not at altitude, So a lot of them had run, and maybe I'm incorrect in saying this, or maybe don't quote me 100%, but I do think we had some guys like hit their PR for what would be sea level, or get really close to that in the prelims. And so looking at the field, we were like, we knew the people who would be in the top four, and those top four people were it. It was Coca, Julian Stuckey, and myself. And we just thought, like, somehow, some way, the four of us would probably be towards that top four, and it would just be an arrangement of the four of us. So how that would play out was it was either going to go one or two ways, and it was going to go out a little bit slower and close pretty fast, or it was going to go out really fast and just stay fast. So I was really excited just to test my skills in that, and just to compete with those guys. And Coco ran it. He executed that excellently, like perfectly. It was just smooth as butter. He looked great. I think in the last like 50 meters or so, like he tripped over the rail, maybe. I'm not sure if he did, but I was looking back at some race pictures and I think he might have hit it, and it looked like it might have hurt him a little bit looking at pictures from the race. But yeah, it was executed almost differently, and you're watching it right, and it looks like we're making it an honest effort. And it is like really a great pace that we did go out at, but that effort wasn't what I was used to as far as like trying to push for a 403, you know, if we came through in 408. So we went a little bit slower than I was used to for that first half. And then that second half, it was just like, wham, just started going around. And on a 200 bank track, I don't have too much experience with that myself. So that was cool to run on. But it was also like, oh, okay, I have four laps left for this 800, but each lap is not a 400 or a 300. So it was the mentality of like, oh, I still have four laps, but they're going to go by fast, you know? So, great experience out there, and definitely was just prepared for whatever curveball was trying to get tossed.
And what was just the feeling when you did get that All-American honor? You know, you've been trying to do this for so long. You risked it for the biscuit in cross country and it didn't quite work out, but here you are. Position yourself perfectly, execute the race plan. It's in your favorite event and you're able to accomplish something that you've wanted for so long. Just what was the feeling of having that just manifest itself? And it's like, yes, we finally did it. Mission accomplished.
It was definitely a God-given opportunity. Like faith is just such a big part of my life and who I am. And like, just I remember, dude, like if I'm being honest with you, I was just praying a lot that weekend, just before my race, after my race, just thanking him for every opportunity up to this point. And after I saw it was in the cards, like, I probably shouldn't have done this, but at some point in that race, on the last lap, I kind of did a little bit of a shoulder check just to see where we were at. And I knew it was going to be us top four in the race. And I just, it was, it, the race wasn't over, obviously, as we still had like another 100 meters to go, but crossing that finish line felt really surreal and just so proud of, like, I don't want to say proud of myself because that sounds almost like prideful, but just proud of the work that I had put in. And I know how many hours, how many days, how much like blood and sweat was just poured out to try and give myself a shot at going All American. And I never thought I would ever be like fourth. Like I was like, maybe I'll squeeze in to the end. Like, but just going fourth, it felt so surreal. And it was just such a God-given opportunity. And it definitely, all the hard work had paid off. And like support group is also really huge for me. So I was very fortunate to have my girlfriend right there at the end of the finish line. And it's just for me, it's kind of like a we did it thing, you know? Like none of it is possible on your own. And if it was, then you'd have nobody to share it with. And then it's like, what's the point, you know? So sharing that moment with my family and my girlfriend and my coach and my teammates, the throwers that were there and everybody back home was just really, it just felt great. And I know all those people who have helped me train and have brought me under their wing. Like that's where the credit goes to, like all those people and to God, just for those opportunities and for them continuing to help me along the way, you know? And it doesn't end there either, which is great. I'm so thankful that I have an outdoor season, and then coming back next year with the whole indoor and outdoor season as well.
That's awesome, man. I mean, the way you just spoke through all that, it just shows a amount of humility and gratitude that is you're mature well beyond your years for saying that, because a lot of people would take an accomplishment like that and have that sort of like, I'm the man, I did this type of reaction. But to give the credit to your teammates and to your family and to the Lord, I mean, that's really awesome, man. And it's going to be exciting to continue to follow your career through this outdoor season and next year as well. But as we get to the end of our time here, I did have a couple curveball questions, and we're gonna just go with one of them here for the sake of time. And this is where we're gonna test that humility a little bit, because I'm curious what kind of reaction we're gonna get from you, if you're gonna downplay this or hype it up a little bit. Either way, we welcome either answer. But you have a couple school records at this point. I believe the 8K in cross country, and then the 3K and mile indoor for Northwoods indoor track records. If we go event by event, 8K, 3K, mile, how safe do you feel like these records are? How safe do you think you're going to see your name next to them within the next couple of years? We'll leave it kind of open-ended. Do you feel like they have a chance at being broken even next season? Or are you thinking like, oh, I was really gunning it in that 403 mile. I don't think anyone's touching that for a few years. Where's your head at with those records?
I hope they don't say, honestly. Like, at one point in time, it's cool to say I did that, but like, I want to see the program grow, And so, like, I like getting people excited to come here, like my buddy Elliot that I was talking about, or even my girlfriend too, who transferred to Northwood. Like, I love getting people hype about the culture and what we're doing and just having that buy-in. Like, it was a whole process, and I just noticed how much it changed my life. Like, I want that for other people too, and I definitely think we have some young talent who's capable of more than I am alone. So I just think that those records can and could and hopefully do get broken. I hope they don't stay, and I hope that this program just continues to evolve and become, something even greater, like that I can't even imagine, Like getting the call to hear one day, like so and so just broke 4 in the mile, I'd be like, what? Like that would be super cool. So yeah, I'd love to see the program grow, man.
Well, you've passed the test, because if I were in your shoes, I'd probably be like, I hope the program progresses, but maybe those records will stay for a couple more years. But I mean, it's every year's different, especially cross country. That's probably the most volatile one, just because these kids are probably going to get a downhill course somewhere and break the 8K, and we'll have to throw an asterisk next to that. So you can always give that type of response, like, well, the course I ran it on versus what you ran it on. Track's a little more difficult to do that, but it just was curious your thoughts there. But overall, this has been just a great discussion. Just unbelievable how quickly the time flies, but just really enjoyed getting to learn your background, really how you found a home in this sport and a home at Northwood as well. And just your passion and your school pride, I can tell it's contagious. The other guys in the program have it. You're bringing in recruits who are coming right into an environment of success. And most importantly, I think this is easy to forget sometimes, even for me as like an analyst of the sport. Most importantly, you're having fun. You're enjoying this chapter of your life while you're pursuing these goals, accomplishing these goals, building relationships along the way. It really checks all the boxes. So I just want to say thank you for being so generous with your time today. This has been such a fun discussion, and we wish you nothing but success. And lastly, I will continue to lobby to my colleagues from the Stride Report to move you up on those rankings. Not that I had to do much, since your performances alone were able to take care of it, but I was putting in some fiery emojis week to week, and you had some well-deserved spots in those rankings. So well-deserved. My hat's off to you.
Thank you. I love reading the Stride Report's articles. It's really fun. Just seeing what they write. I know a recent article had mentioned that if you looked up the definition of a dark horse, you'd see my name there. And I thought dark horse would be like Dylan the Dark Horse Haviland would be like kind of a cool trademark, but it's always fun just seeing those reviews, and I'm very thankful to be a part of that, a small part of that.
For sure. Well, you will continue to be a part of it, I'm sure, as your career progresses. Like I said, we'll be rooting for you here along the way. I need to make it to a track meet at some point. Got to just lock that in on the calendar. But for now, thanks again for your time. We will continue to be connected, and hope you have a good rest of your Sunday recovering from this long run.
Thanks, Scotty. Have a good week as well, man. It's been a great pleasure.
As we wrap up the show, first want to thank our sponsors at The Amino Company for sponsoring us. As always, make sure to go to aminoco.com/chiptime if you want that baller 30% discount, which trust me, you do. So make your way over there. Also want to thank Dylan for joining us today, being so generous with his time and letting us know what his experience has been like. And we're just excited to see where it continues to go. If you would like to contact the show, send me an email, chiptimepod@gmail.com, chiptimepod@gmail.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify. That 5-star button does need your touching. And if you would like to join the Chip Time Strava group, all you need to do is follow me on Strava. So thanks for listening. Keep working hard, and we'll see you next time.